I wandered lonely as a cloud that floats on high o'er vales and hills.
Please, no Wordsworth. I'm trying to relax.
Oh, but who better than Wordsworth?
Orlando.
I'm sorry. Oh, this was a really, really good idea. Oh, what's that? What's that smell? Is that pine forests?
It's eucalyptus.
Ah, yeah. Well recognised. Actually, isn't eucalyptus what koalas eat?
Orlando.
Yeah?
Please be quiet. This is the steam room, not a pub. I'm trying to relax.
You sound like a librarian. I wonder what this button does.
If it's red, please don't press it.
No. It's green. I'll give it a go. Oh. What's that smell?
Pine forest.
Yeah. That's it. You're very good with smells. Yeah, but it's mixed with something else.
Eucalyptus.
Exactly.
This conversation is going around in circles. And actually, somehow, pine forest doesn't mix very well with eucalyptus.
I feel a bit lightheaded. What's that red flashing light?
Oh, God, it's probably some sort of emergency malfunction. I need some fresh air.
Yeah, good idea. Let's get out of here.
Hello and welcome to the Poetry Pod.
My name's Orlando.
And I'm Izzy.
And we are two people who like poetry.
Love poetry.
Love poetry. And we want to share that love
with you.
In our second season, we'll be travelling along the German border to meet our neighbours.
And their poetry. And we'll try and understand what borders mean in our day and age.
Welcome to the Poetry Pod Season 2, Poetry on the Edge.
Orlando, can we get something straight?
Oh, here we go.
We're here to relax, rejuvenate, revitalize.
Remonstrate.
So we have enough energy to finish the last leg of our trip around Germany.
Okay.
We've both had colds, we're both knackered, we've camped in too many forests.
Yeah, well, I agree with that. Yeah, probably swimming in the Spree was not such a good idea.
Definitely wasn't. So, you know, it was my idea to combine the fifth episode with a luxury spa break.
Well, I know it was your idea. You don't have to remind me of that. And I must say, it was a very good idea too. I just have one question, which is, who is paying?
Yeah, let's not get into that. My point is, please don't ruin the experience by breaking everything.
I was merely getting creative by combining olfactorial impulses.
You mean by childishly pressing two buttons simultaneously?
Childishness is close to genius.
No, genius is close to madness, and you are a bit mad, come to think of it.
I'll take that as a compliment. One way or the other, I'm close to genius.
Or close to being maddeningly childish. Anyway, you get my point.
Yeah, okay, I do. Look, I tell you what, why don't we go over to that nice bench over there and have some herbal tea and clear the air?
Yeah, literally. Yeah, nice idea.
God, that really is an exceptional view. Where? I know we're in the Czech Republic, but where exactly are we?
We're in the Sumava National Park in South Bohemia, which national park borders on Germany and Austria. It's a protected area, mm-hmm. It's very sparsely populated, and there's lots of beautiful sceneries. As you can see, we've got loads of trees. It's actually the most extensive forest in Central Europe.
Really?
But it's also got peat bogs, there's glacial lakes, and even remnants of primeval forests.
Primeval forests.
Yeah, imagine that. Yeah, very cool.
Sounds good.
Yeah, and you know, most of it has been undisturbed for a while now, because there used to be predominantly German-speaking people living here, but then they were expelled after the Second World War.
Okay.
And then this area was kept as a sort of buffer zone, you know,
between the Eastern Bloc and yeah.
So yeah, kind of an ideal spot to set up a national park.
Perfect. Yeah. Well, I'm glad it's been kept like that. It's really, really nice. So to summarize, this is a border region which originally had a German-speaking population.
Exactly, and now it's mostly Lynxes.
Yeah. Well, that explains the solitude.
Yeah.
Actually, it reminds me of a poem by a Czech poet who was around in the, well, what would it have been, sort of late 18th, early 19th century, called Antonín Puchmayer. Mm-hmm. Do you fancy, quite long, do you fancy reading it with me?
Yeah, sure.
Hang on a minute. No, I've got to get my mobile out. I've got to get the right music to go with this. And I'll just find Vltava, which is a river not far from here, by the Czech composer. Begins with an S.
Smetana.
Yeah, very good. Smetana. Here it is. And play. My life is like a flowery spring of calmness, liberty, and peace. I mount not high on passion's wing. I sink not deep in recklessness. And noisy joys, where'er they be, have no attractive charms for me.
The marble busts, the statues tall of bronze, I envy not. Be mine a simple home, whose snowy wall the smiling graces may enshrine. Though gold may deck the rich man's roof, it is nor time nor sorrow proof.
Pomona dwells my cottage near, and leads sweet Flora in her hand. My trees the richest offerings bear, uncoveted their treasures stand. And in their falling leaves I see true lessons for humanity.
The elms, as if obedient, bent over my roof. Shadows deep, a canopy of verdure lend to curtain me in tranquil sleep. And visions floating in the air are better than the dreams of care.
And to the forest solitudes I fly to shield my quiet head, and the wild masters of the woods behold me in no tyrant dread. To me, the fierce and foolish chase is wearying discord and disgrace.
A cheerful guest of nature I want nor satiety have known. Mine is a blessed sufficiency and freedom. What is mine to own and to enjoy, enough, no more. Meat, drink, and life glides calmly on.
When hours flow dully on in life, I bid some cheerful neighbor come, and then mine own Bohemian wife gives him sweet welcome to our home. The smiles that on her visage shine are all reflected back from mine.
The morning of a summer day breaks forth in sweet serenity, and fair our roses are, and gay the lovely world appears to me. 'Tis by man's eye that world is clad in cheerful light. Darkness,
I love mankind. I love them well. Wise, foolish, weeds, flowers, gloom, and mirth. Earth is to me nor heaven nor hell. It is, what is it? Simply earth. Poor, thoughtless wretch, by folly driven, who calls his earth or hell or heaven.
A group of children round me lead in dance and song the happy hours. As fair as flowers upon the mead, but sweeter far and lovelier flowers. One flower, to him who knows its worth, is a dropped star of heaven on earth.
And so, unanxious, undismayed, I wait for death, and waiting chant my songs, and feel upon my head the sunshine of sweet peace. I want no joy, but hope, as nature's guest, to die and say, enough, and bless. Wasn't that nice?
That was very pretty, very calming.
Calming. Yeah. See, do you see, I am in a calm mood. I know you don't think I am, but, you know.
You're a bit hyper.
Okay, well, I had too many coffees.
You had too many coffees this morning.
I should have had more herbal tea.
Herbal tea.
Yeah, you're right, yeah, like you. Yeah, but this guy, Pulfmeier, so he was an interesting fellow. He was born in a town called Tain, I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly, which was on the river Vltava, so hence a little bit of Smetana. But he was born before Smetana, so Smetana came a little bit after him. He was born in just before Friedrich Hölderlin was born, 1769. Hölderlin was born 1770, so he's he's kind of almost exact, because he died in 1820.
Right.
Okay, Hölderlin died in 1849, I think, or somewhere around there. But exact contemporary of those guys. So Schiller, maybe Goethe was around. And he wanted to create, and I'm quoting now from John Bowring's Czechian anthology, create a taste for the language and literature of his country. And the collection of poems of which he was the editor was the first fruits of a renowned attention to the subject. So he was a really passionate, ambassador mm-hmm. for the Czech language, but particularly in lyrical form.
It's quite interesting because I imagine like in 1770, the Czech Republic as such wasn't really around. You only had the language. So it was probably, was it part of?
Well, we'll get on to that probably later, but yeah, Bohemia as such, part of other empires, the mm-hmm. Habsburg Empire, and you know, before his death, he completed a study of Russian grammar and dedicated it to the Empress Mother, and she sent him as a sort of thank you. She sent him a ring, but by the time the ring arrived, sadly, he was dead.
Excuse me, but did you just press the red emergency button in the steam room?
The steam room?
Yeah, you know, the one we were just in.
No, we were in the sauna. The sauna.
That is very true. Yes. We were in the sauna, not in the steam room. Definitely the sauna.
Definitely not the steam room.
Yes. No. Actually, I think we might return to the steam room now.
No, the sauna.
The sauna. We might return to the sauna. But the steam room, I saw someone leave and walk that way.
Ah, okay. Thank you very much for your help.
Pleasure.
No problem at all. Yes, happy to help.
Let's get out of here. You fancy a sauna?
He's gone. You don't have to whisper. But promise me you won't break anything else.
You know I can't promise that.
Okay. Well, the sauna it is. Where is it?
I'm not actually sure. Shall we just walk along this path and look for signs?
Yeah. I'm getting quite chilly. These bathrobes aren't as fluffy as they could be.
Then let me warm you up with some Czech history. Or to be more precise, Bohemian history.
Sure it's not just going to send me to sleep?
Well, I'll try and be as brief as possible. In fact, I'll tell you what, I'll put it in quiz form.
Oh dear.
Just to keep you awake.
Okay, that makes sense.
All right. Currently speaking, which two regions is the Czech Republic split into?
Ooh, you mentioned that on our way here. It was Bohemia and Moravia?
Very good. Very, very good. Yeah. So Bohemia is the westernmost of these two things, and it can also refer to a wider area consisting of the historical lands of the Bohemian crown. Bohemia is its own sort of place. It was a duchy of Great Moravia, which was later an independent principality, but of course, like everywhere in Europe, it was originally part of the Holy Roman Empire.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, second question. Before the First World War, which country was Bohemia part of?
Was it... I'm going to go for Austria-Hungary?
Correct.
Ooh, so good at history.
Yeah, correct. So effectively, if you came from what is now known as the Czech Republic, you were an Austrian.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, interestingly enough. And then after World War I, it became the independent Czechoslovak state. Yeah, so all of Bohemia became part of Czechoslovakia. And of course, there were big claims. So from all of the Sudeten Germans, mm-hmm. they had big claims. They're about 25% of the Czech Republic mm-hmm. back then. And they wanted it to become... They wanted to make an argument for it to become part of Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This didn't happen. It became part of the independent Czechoslovak state. But then, obviously, the Second World War came along. We had a whole Sudeten crisis at the beginning of the Second World War, just before. And then afterwards, we had the Soviet bloc, Czechoslovakia, and then the sort of East-West divide, as it were. Up until which date?
Recent history, not my... Which exact date do you mean?
Exact? I give you extra points for being exact. Oh, I mean, God. If you get it within 2 to 3 years, I'll still...
Oh, years, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Give me the question again.
As a German, you should be able to roughly pinpoint it.
I feel like probably around... 1990.
Yeah, that's getting close enough. Yeah. So 89, obviously, we know is when the Berlin Wall fell. And this is more or less what happened as well. There was long before that, there was the Prague Spring, the mass protests in 1968. But then in 1989, so 1 year before, the Velvet Revolution. The Velvet Revolution. But so this sort of led to a period of change, obviously, when the Eastern Bloc receded and communism basically as it existed disappeared effectively under Gorbachev. And then, in 1993, the Czech Republic came into being under which president?
Can you give me a hint?
Yes, I can. He was a playwright. Is that a good enough hint? Doesn't seem to be working, does it?
Was it... No, Václav Havel?
Yes.
Ooh,
Václav Havel. Yeah.
He was reading Wikipedia articles late at night does help.
Exactly.
I read that he was a playwright, and he also came up in a Wikipedia article about politics.
Yeah, so he was the first president from 1993 to 2003, and so he was there for quite a long time. So since then, it's been the Czech Republic, but it still has these two regions, Moravia in the east and Bohemia in the west. And tell me, the Sudeten Germans.
Yes.
What are they, and how many are there?
They're a German-speaking minority. I think most were expelled after World War II.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened to my grandma.
Ah.
Not so much fun fact, but yeah, she's...
Was she originally from that part of the world?
Yeah. Oh. Her last name was Czech, actually.
Good heavens. Literally?
Yeah.
Czech?
Literally Czech.
Really?
But she was German-speaking, and then she was expelled after the Second World War.
What was her... What's her first name? Or was her first name?
Maria.
Maria Czech.
Yeah.
Was that her name?
It was
Maria
her name.
Czech.
Yeah.
Cool.
You're
quarter Czech?
That's the question, isn't
that
it?
That is the question, yes. Yes.
Because she was Sudetendeutsch.
To Czech or not to Czech?
Yeah, to Czech. They were expelled from their home.
Okay, so before they were expelled, what percentage, and I've told you this already, let's see if you were paying attention.
I was.
We'll find out. What percentage of the whole population of that region did the Sudeten Germans make up?
You said they made up 25%.
I did.
But the question is of that region or of the entirety of it is 25%.
I'm not going to... No trick questions. Yeah. No trick questions. Yeah, exactly. Actually, to be exact, 23%, but I was just exaggerating for effect. Yeah. Okay. Well, there we are. Actually, we're still no closer to the sauna.
How many points did I get? Three, right?
Three out of five.
That's what I counted.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do I get an extra point for being quarters deep? That doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't make any sense. But
that is quite an interesting bit of family history, because she then moved to a small town in Hessen, small village, and she told me once how, you know, they were driving around, they were being, you know, driven around in like a big cart, and the villages were getting smaller and smaller and smaller, and she was like, oh no. Just please don't stop here. But then in the smallest village, obviously the cart stopped. They were like, this is where you live now.
This is where you're now living. Yeah. Yeah.
But
did she stay there?
She did stay there. Yeah. And she met my granddad there, who lived in that village, who grew up in that village.
Yeah, so it wasn't such a bad idea.
It wasn't, no. But it was super problematic at the time, because they were refugees, coming to that place. Yeah. And it was just, you know, my granddad's family was really against him marrying a refugee.
Probably didn't help being called Czech.
Yeah. And she didn't have any, you know, she didn't have any money, any lands, anything. So it was like, why don't you marry that farmer girl over there?
She wasn't an empress or a princess. Would have been cool if she was, though.
Yeah, that's true.
That would be very interesting.
Lots
of friction. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess you could see nowadays, too. It's like someone comes from a different place. Like, oh, you can't.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, fascinating. Another border region,
I've got a quiz question for you too.
Go on.
Only one.
I'm always
What's the title of the Czech national anthem?
I have absolutely no idea. Oh. Shall I guess?
Yeah.
Liberty, freedom?
Sure. No, it's Where Is My Home?
Where is my home?
I think that's quite interesting.
So they sort of geographically challenged yeah. the Czechs.
But it's, you know, looking back at the history you just gave us, it's, you know, it's where, what is? I mean, obviously, if you look at the lyrics, they're sort of more like, where is my home? It's where the blue
right.
rivers are and right. the hills are green and right. where liberty
it's
lives.
It's a sort of...
that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, you know...
Rhetorical question.
Yeah, right. But if you also, you know, if you look at the history, it's quite interesting because it's like, where is my home? What yeah. is... What is my home? Am I Bohemian? Am I Czech? Am I?
It's interesting, you know, to start a national anthem, which is normally a massive expression of patriot of a sort of national pride, with a question.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And yeah, that it was translated to English by a Czech poet called Josef Václav Sládek.
Okay.
And he lived in 1845, so 100 years later than.
Mm.
Puchmeyer. And he was a poet, a journalist, and a translator, because when he was 23, he went to the United States
right.
for 2 years, and okay. he worked there as a laborer and started, you know, getting to know the country and the sort of feeling. I mean, 1868, he was there. And yeah, he turned that experience into a collection of poetry and prose called Poems and American Images. And he, after that, he stayed sort of in touch with the language. He worked as a translator, translated a lot of British poems as well by Burns, Longfellow, Byron, Coleridge.
Ah, okay. Coleridge. Did he do The Rime of the Ancient Mariner?
Ooh, I bet he did.
He must
have. Ooh, here's a challenge for you.
Go on.
If you learn the entirety of The Rime of the Ancient Mariner in Czech, you can do an entire episode just reciting
can
The
I?
Rime of the Ancient
yeah, that's
Mariner.
That's a bit of a tall order.
And you get a crate of Czech beer for it as well.
Oh, that's okay, okay. I'm getting more interested in this challenge.
Season three.
We'll see how I feel about it.
Yeah. And, well, he wrote a poem that I quite like, titled, I Could Not Forget. The clouds are sailing toward the west. They call me from above in vain as I recline my head to rest. Come with us once, come west again. Perhaps out there you could forget. The clouds have passed. I too passed by where the oceans roll and mountains rise. My path was marked for me on high by troubled clouds, two troubled eyes. These two I never could forget. Life is so fair beyond the sea, where God all mankind rules and shields, where arms are strong and hearts are free. Beautiful are the rolling fields to them who have learned to forget. I stood where lands and oceans meet, gazing beyond the water's foam, and though this were the Eden seat, I could not rest away from home, because I learned not to forget. Keep passing westward at your pleasure, men and clouds and birds of flight, but for all your wealth and treasure, our poverty and plight, this I never could forget.
Lovely. Lovely. Yeah. All your wealth and treasure are poverty and plight. Yeah, so it's kind of nostalgic, but with a little bit of bittersweet, you know, a bittersweet touch, perhaps.
Yeah.
Ah! Sauna. This direction, only 100 meters to go.
Oh, that's more of a hike than a spa weekend.
Yeah.
But yeah, I found it quite interesting, this poem of, as you said, it's bittersweet. Like, I know my home country is, you know, not as good or as good for me as it should be, but still it's my home country.
Yeah, your roots are your roots, aren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't get away from them. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's like, I remember as a kid, where I went to school, there was a factory nearby, and there was this particular smell that came from this factory called the Globe Elastic Factory. It automatically makes you think of industrial illnesses. And it was an awful smell, but for some reason I got so used to this smell that whenever I smell this, smell now and again in industrial areas, I have nostalgic feelings, which is ridiculous. But, it doesn't matter, does it? That's what it's all about. Yeah. Roots are roots, right?
Yeah. And then, well, you know, later in the century, obviously, lots of people had to give up their roots.
Yeah,
you know,
20th exactly.
century.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, of course, yeah, the diasporas in the before and during and after the Second World War. you know, from all of these, because, I mean, that's something we've learned from all of our travels so mm-hmm. far, all of these border regions, all of the comings and goings, not just in the Second World War, but actually really throughout mm-hmm. centuries, comings and goings, the shifting of frontiers,
And actually, I read about a publishing house that originated in the Czech Republic mm-hmm. called 68 Publishers, because you mentioned the Spring Revolution.
The Spring Revolution.
1968. And they moved to Toronto, moved to Canada. It's it was Czech writer Josef Svoretsky and his wife, Zdena Salivarová. And they wanted to publish Czech and Slovak writers abroad, because especially those ones who couldn't get published in Czechoslovakia at the time. So they kind of took the literature that came from there, or, you know, expatriates around the globe, published their works there in English and in Czech, Slovak.
Very good. Yeah.
And then they smuggled those books back into Czechoslovakia.
Clever. Good idea.
And they published some of the great writers from the Czech Republic, like Jaroslav Seifert, who won the Nobel Prize for his poetry.
In
1980-something. Or also Milan Kundera's novel, Unbearable Lightness of Being.
Yeah, that's very famous, isn't it? Even I've heard of that. So here we are at the sauna. So we'll just walk a little bit around the corner here. I'm going to keep my clothes on.
Excellent. So will I.
Yeah. In we go.
Do you like saunas?
Yeah.
You know, we're going to meet a guy in there. I'm going to surprise you. I've organized a meeting with the Czech Republic's best known slammer, poet, and spoken word artist. And you know what his name is?
I don't know.
His name is Dr. Filipic. Dr. Filipic. And where better to meet a person who delivers cures than in a sauna? In we go. Ah, and this must... Are you Dr. Filipic?
Hello. Yes, I'm Dr. Filipic.
You are Dr. Filipic.
I don't think so that I'm the best known Czech slammer. Yes.
Oh, that's a shame, because I wanted to build you up. So, who is the best-known Czech slammer?
I think it's Anatol Svahilec. But he has a very special dictionary, and I don't think so that people out of Czech Republic can understand him. So maybe it's better that me is here than Anatol.
So, can I ask you a question? Where does your name come from, Dr. Filipic?
I'm doing a lot of stuff, and one of this stuff is theater. And in one game, I played a doctor, and I played in times when I was thinking about to start with slam poetry, but I didn't know how to name myself. And because I was playing the doctor, and the girls in our team knew that my girlfriend from past called me Filipic, so they put it together, and Dr. Filipic was here suddenly. And but I don't like the name, but I'm trying to live with it.
You're trying to live with it. So what should we call you? Is Philip okay?
I think that Philip is much better.
Okay. From now on, we'll call you Philip. We will avoid all titles, no doctors, no more doctors. So we're here in this wonderful hotel in the Sumava area of the Bohemian forest here. How far have you had to come to get here, Philip?
Right now, I'm living in Pilsen, and I think it's about 70 kilometers.
And is that where you come from originally?
No, and thank you for the question, because I'm from Sokolov. In German, it's Falkenau an der Eger, and it was Sudeten, London. So I am a Sudeten boy, but I had to escape from there because I think that's connected with the history. So there's an economic decline, social decline. Pilsen is much better.
So would you say that growing up there,
sort of shaped you, or in what way has it shaped you?
Yeah. These are right words. I think that I'm, in Czech we call it tvrdý, the hard guy, and brave, and words like this.
And where did it all start, Filip? So we've got to imagine you in Sokolov. How did you get in this working class environment? How did you come to be a poet and somebody who actually uses words, uses language on stage? Because that's quite a leap, I think.
I'm not sure about the roots, but I think it started in childhood. I just wanted to be seen and heard. And I started with that band on high school. And basically, when we started to play shows, that was the first time somebody told me that I have to make slam poetry, because people liked the most my talking between songs, and they didn't like our songs. So that was an insult, and that's why I didn't start with slam poetry. But on university, I'm not sure how to say it, but I put my head out of my ass, and I realized that slam poetry is a great choice.
I think we get the picture, yeah. What would you say, Philip, what would you say is your main subject matter? What do you like writing about? Do you like writing about anything, everything?
When I was younger, I was some kind of feeling poet. It was just about what I feel, and the inspiration was kind of a punch that hit me, and then there was a poem. But that's not the way I wanted it, so I'm trying to be, we call it in Czech, a craft artist, is that you're trying to have that art under your control. I know it's impossible. Art will always have me under its control, but I'm trying a little bit to have it under my control. And that's why I'm trying to write about anything. I'm trying to be able to write about vegetables, the same as about love or capitalism and so on. But right now, I am a father of an 8-month-old boy. So that's my biggest inspiration right now. But I think it's not forever.
Are you getting enough sleep?
No. I don't know what it is.
That's what happens. It does get better with time. It does get better with time. You've got a really interesting poem, which I wondered if you'd be happy to read for us. The invisible demon of the free market. So yes, you could talk about vegetables or, you know, inspiration from all areas, but this is more to do with the free market. It's about economy, capitalism in a small way. Would you be happy to read it for us, Philip?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Philip, we need to talk, Philip. We need to have a plan, Philip, a strategy and tactics. Philip, we're living in tactical times, Philip. We're living in the times of strategies and plans, and who has no plan does not exist, Philip. You must be better, Philip. Today's Philip must be better than yesterday's Philip, and tomorrow's Philip must be better than today's Philip, right, Philip? You must keep up a good pace, Philip, a good pace. Never slow down, Philip. You must be mobile. You must buy a car, Philip, a Volvo or Audi or Mercedes, Philip, with the leather seats, Philip. You need a selfie with the car. You must be seen, Philip. Who is not seen does not exist, Philip. And so on and so on.
Thank you very much. That was fantastic. That's really interesting. So what motivated you to write that poem? Can you remember?
It was society and the pressure I feel. I think that I still have to do something, and I still have to be somebody.
You know, we met a spoken word poet from East Belgium, Camille Gaudissart, and she wrote a It's very different, but it's about exactly the same theme. Do you remember, Izzy?
Yeah, exactly. That was about, you know, being constantly forced to, you know, think about who you are in this world, who you want to be, the things you need to achieve. And I was also thinking about Nilgun's poem. She's a poet from Denmark, about sort of being forced into very specific little boxes of labels, you know, you're this, you're that, and you have to behave accordingly. Mm-hmm. I think it's very interesting that these themes keep coming up.
Yeah, it's interesting. Phil, I wonder if, what do you think about that? Because, I mean, I'm guessing you're in your late 20s, early 30s. Am I right?
I'm 32 years old.
You're 32.
Old.
So you use a lot of social media to promote yourself, I'm assuming. Do you feel that it's sort of between a rock and a hard place, we'd say in English, that a blessing and a curse? So on the one hand, it's great because you can advertise yourself. Mm-hmm. And on the other hand, constant pressure, because unless you keep showing yourself, showing your face, putting out material, you're going to get overtaken or forgotten. What do you think about that?
I'm afraid that it's necessary to use them, because if you're not seen, you don't exist. Basically, but I hate it. I want to just exist in a real world. But I don't want to sound like some boomer. I need to use them to show myself and show that I exist and perform.
Absolutely. Speaking of performance, so what's next? Where are you going after you've left this sauna?
I have a lot of work in Karlovy Vary region, because I don't live there for years, but I think that I have to put that region something back. So I'm going to Loket, if you know it. There's a famous castle there. I think it's in German, it's Elbogen or something like that. Our the most famous king, Charles IV, was there when he was a little boy. So it's really famous place. And I think it's the only nice place in Karlovy Vary region.
So, Philip, will you be writing about that castle and that region? Is that the idea, that you sort of create a literary or poetic, I don't know, heritage?
Yeah, I'm going there to perform in school. So I'm basically going to teach kids. And castles and this stuff, that's not a topic for me. I know I said that I want to write about anything, but I don't want to write about castles.
The one theme that you will not write about is castles.
Yeah.
Very good. Lucky we're not meeting in a castle. That's good. You write about a sauna, though, right?
That's a much better topic.
Much better topic, yeah. I'm getting too hot, you guys. Can we go out and have a beer?
Yeah, let's do that. And I'm very much looking forward to reading your poem about a sauna.
In Sumava, I think there's a special drink, lemonade, called Šumavenka. Yeah, orange Šumavenka. That's the best lemonade ever.
Fantastic. Oh, that sounds great. I think that I could really do with one of those now, actually.
Yeah, need to rehydrate.
Absolutely. Philip, lovely to meet you. Thank you for spending time with us. And we wish
you... Thank you for the invitation.
Our great pleasure. And we wish you continued success in all the different venues you go to. And yeah.
And plenty of sleep.
Plenty of sleep.
Eventually.
That's my dream. Yeah.
Aha, so that's why you wanted to keep your clothes on. You knew we were going to meet a poet in there.
Yeah, exactly. And it's always better to meet poets fully clothed.
Fully clothed. Yeah. Not fully clothed, but in a
partially
bathroom.
Clothed.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, God, but that was really hot in there, though.
Izzy, I'm sweating. There is only one thing for it. We must do as the Finns do.
What do you mean?
Yeah, come on.
No,
yeah,
no, yeah, yep, 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 not yep, the yep, plunge yep, pool. Yep, yep, yep. It's freezing. Oh, I don't know!
Go on.
bloody freezing!
Ah, what's... Don't be pathetic in Czech. I'll tell you what, let me show you how it's done. Here we go! Oh, God, that's cold! Oh, Houston, we have a problem. I can't feel my nether regions. Oh, I've got to get out.
Oh, yeah, so that's how it's done. Right. Oh, wait. Oh, no, there's a sign. Plunge pool closed due to hygiene measures. I'm getting out. That doesn't sound promising.
Doesn't sound promising at all. I've got to get warm. Can you chuck me my towel over?
Yeah, there you go.
I tell you what, let's go to the Laconium over there. It's warm and dry. Come on, let's run. I can literally feel the onset of hypothermia.
Now, who's being pathetic? Ah, that's better. Ah, the stone is lovely and warm. Ah, I feel like I'm at the seaside.
Yeah, I can hear sort of lovely sea sounds. I know who was also a famous Czech poet.
Who was?
Rainer Maria Rilke.
Ah, I thought, I always kind of booked him as like Austrian?
Yeah, I did as well, but finally, you know, it goes back to what I was saying earlier on. Technically, he was, but... He was born in Prague. So technically he was actually Czech, but he was born in Prague. So yeah, in those days,
right.
He was part of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. So he was actually, he was Austrian, but really he was a Czech.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, wow. He was born René Karl Wilhelm Johann Josef Maria Rilke. How many middle
Excuse
names
me?
Can you have? but it reminds me, all of these sounds remind me a bit of his poem, The Song of the Sea. Timeless sea breezes, sea wind of the night. You come for no one. If someone should wake, he must be prepared how to survive you. Timeless sea breezes, that for aeons have blown ancient rocks. You our purest space, coming from afar. Oh, how a fruit-bearing fig tree feels your coming, high up in the moonlight.
Lied vom Meer. Uraltes Wehen vom Meer. Meerwind bei Nacht. Du kommst zu keinem her. Wenn einer wacht, so muss sehen, wie dich übersteht. Uraltes Wehen vom Meer, welches weht nur wie für Urgestein. Lauter Raum, reißend von weit herein. O, wie fühlt dich ein treibender Feigenbaum oben im Mondschein.
That's better. Warming up now.
Do you know who's another German-speaking writer who's Czech?
Enlighten me.
Franz Kafka.
Kafka, yes. Of course. Also, how could we forget Kafka?
Also born in Prague.
Also born in Prague, yeah.
What do you know about Kafka?
What do I know about Kafka? Not a huge amount. I mean, I know a few Kafka texts. I mean, appearance and reality. You know, he's always playing with you, isn't he?
Sort
of something sort of slightly, sort of, it speaks in riddles, a lot of these short texts. Nothing is what it seems.
True, yeah. You've got the, what's it called in English? The Türhüter, you know, who's like the person barring the door and you can't go through.
The bouncer.
The bouncer.
Yeah, in modern
terms. The bouncer.
He wrote about nightclubs generally, Kafka, didn't he?
Yeah, true. Yeah, and you know what's interesting? So Kafka died quite young. He was 40.
Okay.
Before he died.
Like all great artists.
Yeah. And before he died, he told his friend Max Brod, who's also a writer, to burn all of his manuscripts and everything. He didn't want... He had a couple of things published, but all the other stuff he wanted to go up in flames because he didn't want it published.
Like all great artists.
All great artists. But then Max Brod went against that. And that's why we've got all these famous Kafka works.
Good for him. So Kafka's rolling in his grave, but Brod, everyone's praising
Brod. Literature is the richer for it.
Well, thank Brod for that. Yeah. Super. So, Kafka texts. What Kafka texts do we know?
I found a very nice short prose text.
Okay.
Do you want to hear it?
Yeah, go on.
Denn wir sind wie Baumstämme im Schnee. Scheinbar liegen sie glatt auf, und mit kleinem Anstoß sollte man sie wegschieben können. Nein, das kann man nicht, denn sie sind fest mit dem Boden verbunden. Aber sie, sogar das, ist nur scheinbar.
Because we are like logs in the snow. They appear to rest there easily, and with the slightest push you can move them away. No, you cannot do that. They're rooted to the earth. But you see, even that is mere appearance. You know, being here in the Sumavan, I'm going to pronounce it right, Sumavan National Park, you know, we're a stone's throw away from a place of great pilgrimage.
Mm-hmm.
Pilsen.
Ooh, do we know any famous writers from there?
No, I'm not interested in famous writers from Pilsen. The thing about Pilsen, as you may infer from the name...
Ah, the famous brewers.
Is exactly. Yeah. The beer, the pils, and a mecca. It's a mecca for beer lovers. We should have gone there. Why are we in a wellness hotel?
I was trying to relax, Orlando.
Anyway, I've got a surprise for you. Here we are. Try one of those.
Orlando, what are you doing?
Moving the mountain to Mohammed. Would you like a nice cold Czech pils?
Well, I mean, there's no one else here. Don't mind if I do.
We're being very bohemian, actually.
Ooh, true. Actually, fun fact, bohemian, yeah. That phrase, you know, bohemian, meaning someone who leads like an unconventional lifestyle, yeah. Who doesn't...
Like us.
Yeah, we're bohemian. Being bohemian. Yeah. That doesn't come from the bohemian people.
Oh, okay.
But the term came up in France.
Okay.
And it referred to bohemian Romani people. So Romani people who came through
Bohemia.
And then settled in France, who lived an unconventional lifestyle.
True.
Traveled.
They did, yeah. Sort of gypsies and...
Yeah, even though I think that term is not used by them. I think they use Romani.
Romani. Roma.
Yeah, Roma.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Nomadic lifestyle, mm-hmm. basically.
Yeah,
that's very interesting. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Okay. And something I also read up, the Bohemian Romani people were all basically murdered in
really?
The Second World War and afterwards.
In so, Germany? Or everywhere?
Well, in the Bohemian region.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So there used to be a Bohemian Romani language, but that's completely wiped out
at all
this
gone.
Point.
Yeah. Okay. So,
but it lives on in the term Bohemian.
So when... Giacomo Puccini wrote the opera La Bohème, set in Paris, about the students living together in their garret. What he actually meant was the Romanies, and not anything, had nothing to do with the Czechs.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. I didn't know that. I wonder if Queen knew that when they wrote the Bohemian Rhapsody.
Right.
Speaking of which, actually.
Orlando, what are you doing? How come you've got your smartphone in here? This is a place to relax. We don't need...
Yeah, I know, but my bathroom... Bathrobe may not be fluffy, but it has very deep pockets. I could put beer in it. I've got my mobile here. Now, just hang on. I'm just connecting to the Wi-Fi. Just the room's got its own Bluetooth. That's interesting.
Our old Viking friend.
Yeah, exactly.
Her Bluetooth.
And Bluetooth and his mate, Gorm. So, goodbye.
Coleslaw the Brave. Coleslaw the Courageous.
Coleslaw the Brave. Yeah, exactly. Goodbye, incongruous sea noises. And hello, Queen.
Orlando, you can't do that. What happens if we're caught? We've got beers open and we're listening to 80s rock and the Laconium.
Izzy, come on, chill out. We're in Bohemia. Chill out. When in Rome...
Do as the Romans do, which actually in the case of the Laconium was to relax and to revitalize.
Yeah, come on, cheers. This pils is getting warm. Let's drink up quickly.
Okay. Hey, what are you doing? This is not some kind of party room.
Oh, this is like being back in Germany.
Yeah, well, you know, if you think back, the Sudeten Czechs are originally from Germany, so, and the Bohemians weren't the Bohemians, so...
Excuse me, but can you leave, please?
What? The Laconium?
No, the hotel. I'm calling my manager.
That's another fine mess you've got me into.
Is he quoting Laurel and Hardy will not help us?
What will? Queen Pils being Bohemian?
Our tried and tested end of episode silly situation strategy.
Alliteration?
No. Run!
Orlando, we're only wearing bathrobes.
Come on, we got beer. We'll be all right.
Not that way. That's the steam room.
Oh, God. I think I've left my mobile in the Laconium.
We've got the time. Come on, this
Hold
way.
My beer. I'm going back.
No, you can't.
I have to go back.